Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here, and today we've got a couple of interesting updates on Tesla's gigapresses. We've also got news on Tesla's inventory and wait times, as we've had some price changes and the Inflation Reduction Act, of course, taking effect on January 1st. Got some news on FSD, NHTSA making some comments on their investigations of Tesla today, and a few other items as well. Looking at the stock, nice day. Tesla up about 6%, closing at $119.77. The NASDAQ up about 0.6% on the day, so really nice outperformance from Tesla on the day-to-day. Tech growth faring a lot better today as the Dow and the S&P were down with the NASDAQ up, but really nice to see that from Tesla. This week will be interesting as we have Fed commentary tomorrow, as we had talked about. That'll happen before market open, and then, of course, the CPI report on Thursday. PPI we'll have to wait for until next week. Another thing on the stock, Tesla did disclose that Zachary Kirkhorn, Tesla CFO, did sell about 3,700 shares of Tesla on January 4th. This Form 4 came out Friday evening, but this was a pre-planned trading sale that was put into place on July 29th of earlier, or I guess last year, July 2022. So just a quick update on that, nothing too major there. Zach sells shares from time to time. Obviously, that's a big part of his compensation. We also had a downgrade, or rather a price reduction in terms of price target from Bank of America, John Murphy, reiterating a neutral rating on Tesla, but cutting the price target from $275 to $135 per share. All right, getting into the most interesting news for the day, I think. This is an update from Idra, of course, makes Tesla's gigapresses on LinkedIn. And 12 hours ago, they posted on LinkedIn, another 9,000 ton ready for shipping on its way to Asia. So as we can see in the video here, this looks very similar, including probably very notably the color scheme to the prior 9,000 ton press that, of course, seems to be on its way to Tesla. At the moment, we talked about that last week, just a quick update on that. Elon Musk did end up liking the tweet that I had made that indicated that maybe Tesla's Cybertruck 9,000 ton gigapress was arriving at Giga Texas from Joe Tegmeyer's tweet. So looks to be an indication that that would be an accurate update, that Tesla would be receiving this gigapress, that it would be being used for Cybertruck there at Giga Texas. So it's good to see that. And then with this new update, I noticed the color scheme, or I mentioned the color scheme is important here because probably one of two things that this means. Either there is a 9,000 ton press here, which obviously we know would be being used for the Cybertruck based on that tweet that Elon liked. Either that's headed to Giga Shanghai for Tesla, or it's headed to Asia for another competitor, which would also be very interesting news as well. Hopefully it is for Tesla. And the color scheme, I think, notable because if I were a competitor and I were taking delivery of a gigapress like this, I think what I would probably request of Idra would be to not paint it red and white like all the Tesla gigapresses. Obviously, they would probably prefer to have a little bit more of their own branding on that. So presumably this would be for Tesla. And then if it is going to Giga Shanghai for Tesla, the question becomes, what is this for? Is this for the Cybertruck, or is this for possibly a Generation 3 vehicle? We know that Tesla mentioned talking a little bit more about that Generation 3 platform on March 1st at Tesla's Investor Day. So hopefully that'll give us a little bit more of an indication on, you know, maybe what this would be used for in China. But really exciting to see this, another second or a second press already on the way. Again, hopefully for Tesla. In terms of the timeline, so as I've talked about, Idra has walked through this before on this YouTube video from a while back. Shipping to China, they say, is sort of the maximum time that it would take for any location, and they say that's 45 to 50 days, and that's on top of 2 weeks for disassembly. So with those in combination, you're looking at about 8 to 9 weeks, which would put us from March 6th to March 13th for just the arrival of this gigapress at Giga Shanghai, if that's where it's going. And then you've got, of course, another month or so for reassembly, assuming that the 9,000 ton press doesn't take longer than the 6,000 ton or other presses that Tesla may have used in the past. So that would be our timeline. That would put things in terms of when Tesla could actually start using this out to probably April at the earliest. So if anyone's expecting them to show up and, you know, start making this vehicle or something in March or April, please reset your expectations accordingly. You know, we're seeing it delivered to Tesla right now, and we don't expect Cybertruck production probably for at least 6 months from now. So if this gets there in April, you know, just keep that in mind. Probably would be for producing something later this year or maybe even 2024. If this is actually for a next generation platform, Obviously, Tesla would be needing a lot of these. I think the production rate works out to somewhere around 5,000, or sorry, 250,000 per year. So if this would be for another platform, would be lower cost, and you know, maybe doing some sort of combination front and rear casting with this massive press for a smaller vehicle. If that were the case, Tesla would be needing a lot of these to produce that lower cost vehicle. So it's interesting to keep an eye on. You know, again, my best bet is Tesla based on the color scheme, based on this just being the second one right after this first one was shipped to Tesla. You know, presumably Tesla's got that order queue filled up. You know, maybe it's for a Cybertruck out of Shanghai, and that would serve the non-North American market, possibly. Obviously, the biggest market for the Cybertruck is going to be the U.S., though, so I don't know that that would be the next move that Tesla would make. So, super interesting, and we'll have to follow that. Hopefully, Wuwa can get some shots of some Edra crates rolling into Giga Shanghai in March, like we're seeing here now from some of the U.S. drone operators at Giga Texas. All right, moving on. Just as I mentioned with this like tweet by Elon, there's, I think, a very interesting set of like tweets from Elon. He's been liking a lot of stuff on Tesla, including this tweet from Eva Fox of Tasmanian, noting that Tesla has promoted Tom Zhu, who I know I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but last time I pronounced it differently, my video got demonetized by YouTube, so great. So I'll go with Tom Zhu. Anyway, Tesla promoting him to the second most important role in the company, and Elon liking that tweet. So we talked about that promotion previously, but interesting to see Elon kind of agree with that assessment in terms of importance of position. I thought that was noteworthy. And then he also did like this tweet from Ross Gerber, which probably worth passing along. I'm telling you, Elon and Tesla are going to make a comeback with a vengeance. Beware, this is when he thrives. So Elon agreeing with that assessment as well, which is, I think, nice to see. All right, moving on to wait times. Of course, we now have the price reductions in China. The Model 3 wait times have not moved, still 1 to 4 weeks there, but they have updated the Model Y wait times, at least for the non-performance versions. So the standard range or rear-wheel drive version, now 2 to 5 week wait time. Same with the long range. Oh, you probably can't see that there. And then the performance, that is still 1 to 4 weeks there. So with the price reductions, I think this should be expected. You also have to figure in that Tesla will be down for a little bit more than a week for Chinese New Year here towards the end of January. So factoring those things in, this probably shouldn't be too unexpected. Like we had talked about back for the October price cuts, you're going to see a pretty big spike there in orders initially when all that price cut is happening, all the, you know, media is talking about it. So for me, I don't really care what the initial spike is. It's really more about what the sustainable level of demand is at these price points, what the sustainable order flow is, and I think that's going to be the assessment from Wall Street as well. Not too interested in how things look right now. You know, if anything, I would probably have hoped that these moved out a little bit further, but again, I don't necessarily think the wait times are all that indicative of what's going on. There's a lot to factor in there, especially with, you know, the changing export slash domestic allocation for Tesla out of Giga Shanghai. But nevertheless, we are seeing some slightly increased wait times here for the Model Y in China. And then in the United States, of course, the Inflation Reduction Act EV credit changes that have happened. The estimated delivery time for the 7-seat version, which I have selected here, has been pushed out a little bit, now indicating sometime between February and April for that 7-seat version. That being said, it looks like inventory on the 5-seat version, or just inventory in general for the Model Y, is increasing. If we look at this chart from Matt Young, the inventory since the new year and Tesla taking off their own $7,500 credit has continued to increase for all vehicles. But I think this is mostly coming from, you know, Model 3 and Model Y, but I think it's primarily from Model Y. I'm not sure if there's a check I can filter on that, but inventory increasing despite some of the wait times increasing for the 7-seat version. Obviously, that's going to be affected by Tesla's production plans if they didn't anticipate the split that we see here with the 5-seat being the $55,000 cap and the 7-seat being the $80,000 cap. Then that's going to affect their production plans, you know, or the order rate relative to Tesla's prior production plan. So it'll take some time for them to sort of balance that out, which is why I'm also not looking too much into this, you know, date as some sign that, you know, demand is amazing or something like that. Still a little bit early to make that call. All right, moving on, we've got an update here from NHTSA. Reuters reporting on this earlier today. NHTSA made some comments today about their investigation, which has been ongoing into Tesla and Autopilot for a long time now. They say that it's proceeding really fast here. Let me flip here. Proceeding really fast was their comment to reporters on Monday in terms of the investigation, but they opened that in August 2021. So I'm not sure how fast that is given all the changes that we have had since that period of time. Obviously, anything that happened there is a far cry from where Tesla's at today with FSD and autopilots and driver monitoring. Of course, this has to do with initially the investigation in response to emergency vehicle collisions that had happened on autopilot. Since then, of course, we've got the implementation of Tesla to put a little warning on autopilot and slow speed down when it determines that there's an emergency vehicle stopped on the side of the road. Eye tracking has been implemented since then. Of course, this was just part of the FSD beta, which was really small at that point in time. So a lot of changes, constant evolution, but the investigation ongoing. They say they're dedicating a lot of resources to it. And I think the commentary today stemmed from Elon's tweet back on December 31st, which I'm not sure we actually had a chance to talk about, but Elon had replied to Holmar saying that the steering wheel neg for having your hands on the wheel, that should be able to be removed for drivers that have, you know, 10,000 miles or more using FSD. So I was really happy to see that. I was excited about it. The wheel neg is pretty annoying when the eye tracking, I think, does work so well. It's pretty redundant. So I would love that personally as a consumer. Obviously, NHTSA might have a different perspective from a safety perspective. I don't think it really changes too much, but, you know, they're going to be careful in those regards. I would note that, you know, Ford has no inhibitions about advertising their system as hands-free. BlueCruise, or maybe GM, I can't remember which one, but you know, we've seen all those ads where they are clapping and doing stuff and making a show of it being hands-free. So it's not that NHTSA doesn't allow hands-free systems, it's more just making sure that Tesla's monitoring would still be safe enough. So we'll see on that, but they say that they're just having an ongoing investigation, including from those recent comments. They say they're in conversations with Tesla about that latest communication. So we'll see on that, but you know, that is the update on from NHTSA today. And then we do have a couple things here on Tesla vehicle safety with autopilot. They have updated their safety report. We usually get this quarterly. I'm not sure if they updated it last quarter. It looked like they were going through and making some updates to their data. So at the bottom here, we'll look at that first. They say that they made some changes to their data. Basically, they looked back through some of the data and found some instances of miles being double reported or some crashes that should have been counted or not. I'm not sure exactly. But a few different things that they changed in their data, the result of which was that when autopilot is active, the collision rates are lower than what they had previously reported based on some of those updates that they had made to the data that they had, trying to improve the quality of that data. So looking at the chart here, we can see usually we're looking at the crashes, or Tesla sort of rephrased it a little bit, million of miles driven before an accident occurs. So when autopilot is active, that happens about every 6.5 million miles, at least in the last quarter. So as we can see, this has consistently improved over time. You can see, you know, that collision rate has almost halved in the last, you know, 3-4 years. And I like to look at this on a quarter over quarter basis. So even though Q1 here looks a little bit better, I think the best way to compare is look at Q3 last year. Then you have similar seasonality impacts, which can affect safety. So in Q3, you know, 6.5 million this year miles between accidents, and then last year was about 5.5 million. So some really nice steady progress there that we've seen. And hopefully, as Tesla continues to expand FSD beta, we continue to see more and more of that. I know it's not perfect in terms of the reporting, but it is something I wish we did get a little bit more data here. But, you know, I still think it is helpful and interesting information to look at, and I'm glad Tesla does share that. We also got an update from Elon on FSD beta version 11. Of course, we're still waiting for this. Elon's saying it's looking like version 11.3 will be ready for wide release in about 2 weeks, many major improvements. So not going to stick super hard to that timeline. We have heard this comment from Elon before, and we're still waiting on version 11, so we'll see. But that is the latest timeline from Elon there. And then just a couple more things today. Got an update here from Drive tracking, drive.com.au tracking vehicle sales in Australia. And the Model 3 for 2022 for the entire year. Let's see. At least I was thinking this was for the entire year. Yeah, Tesla sales. This headline is throwing me off now that I'm getting into this report. But the Model 3 ended Toyota Camry's 28-year dominance in the midsize segment. So I think this is for the entire year that the Tesla Model 3 surpassed the Toyota Camry in that midsize segment. 11,000 vehicles sold last year compared to Camry at 9,500. So despite my hesitance there, this was full year data. You know, sometimes we get those monthly reports where it's Model 3 best-selling car for this one individual month because of the waves and things like that. But for the entire year here in Australia, Tesla making that leap, which is really, really cool to see. And then lastly, an update here on BYD. Some headlines today about Berkshire Hathaway, of course, Warren Buffett, selling 1.1 million shares in BYD. Kind of an interesting headline and interesting timeline or interesting timing with all that we've noted about BYD recently. But worth noting that they've got about 153 million shares, so this would be less than 1% of their holding of BYD. So, you know, you can read into that or you cannot, but relatively small portion of their BYD holdings. All right, that is it for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, January 10th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.